You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
I'm joined in London by Michael Moore, Senior Advisory Consultant on Data Analytics at the Canadian software developer Desire to Learn. I understand you're based in their Florida office, so it's a pleasure to meet you.
Nice to be here, thank you.
Gustav, I understand you're over here in London to speak at the InFocus Learner Analytics and Big Data Conference, which takes place at the University of London on the 10th of December. You've also been speaking at Online Educa in Berlin recently about big data analysis. Now, we're all sort of fairly familiar with this, but it's the kind of stuff that's used widely in commercial services. So Amazon might take a lot of data to recommend products to people. You log onto Facebook and the adverts know where you've been, they know what you're looking for. This is how these sort of data sets and this sort of analysis can be used in higher education. You're speaking tomorrow at an event about this. What will you bring to the table? What will you be saying about the use of these sort of data sets in HE?
Yeah, so that's exactly right. Big data is the current kind of trend, and it certainly has become very prevalent in retail and very prevalent on the internet, and it certainly has as much applicability in education in terms of looking at learner interactions and learning behaviors and being able to analyze those learning behaviors and identify trends and look at connections that might not easily be identified otherwise. So one of the things that we're working on is some predictive analytics and looking at student learning behaviors and making predictive identifications of where students might not be performing closely aligned with what the predicted model for success is. So that's one way that we can help students or help instructors identify students that might be at risk and help them get back on track early in their academic performance. And then another predictive analytics product that we have available is to help students make informed course choices. So when they're trying to decide what courses to select, they can have a predictive recommendation of their success within that course. So they're not just blindly making course choices. They have some intelligence and some information to go along with it so that they can make informed choices and hopefully get the best optimized experience in that course.
Sure. Is it not sort of regimented a little bit too strictly there? You know, you've got students, instead of maybe doing research, going on what they feel, what they like, what they've always enjoyed, looking at a very strict set of data and saying, oh, well, this recommends I do a major in philosophy, or this recommends I'll do a major in physics. Is it sort of taking the choice away a little bit and being a bit too reliant on statistics, which, you know, aren't always the most reliable way to make a call?
I wouldn't say that it removes student choice. I think students certainly still have a choice of what to choose. I think it's really more of an assistive technology to try and help students make the best possible choices. So from a statistical or analytical perspective, we will make recommendations based on, you know, course requirements, degree requirements, that kind of thing, because those don't go away, right? The student still has to complete X number of courses in their degree program. Mm-hmm. But in terms of individual course choices, they still have the choice of which course they might prefer, which instructor they might prefer, what time of the day they might prefer. We're just going to provide them a bit of supplemental information as to which course they might stand the best chance at succeeding in. Based on the predicted analytics of other students like them that were on the same degree path or maybe had similar academic history.
Sure. And are universities using this kind of data quite widely? Are quite a lot of universities missing a trick in terms of the information they have about the students and the way they could use that to guide them through their studies?
Yeah, well, it's a brand new technology. It's only been available in the U.S. for a couple of years. But in the early research that we've done, it's had great success at helping students that were typically in underperforming or lower areas be more successful. So there's a concept that we call the attainment gap, which is typically the kind of gap between higher performing students and then those from more traditionally challenging areas, lower socioeconomic parameters or demographics, could also be other things such as financial aid participation and things. So this tool helps those students all kind of come to an equilibrium. So mm-hmm. It closes that what is traditionally a 20% gap down to about a 6%, which helps level the playing field quite a bit and provide quality of opportunity.
So are you assessing that data before the students even started their studies? So are you looking at someone and saying, okay, we know this about their background, we know That they're, you know, maybe they were on what we call free school meals over here in the UK, so from lower income families. We know therefore that they might struggle in X, Y, and Z at university. Are you making all these assumptions before they start, and then tracking them, or is it a more responsive kind of a process?
So it can be. We do pick up some student information from the college's student information system. So that would typically be things like maybe their college entrance exam scores, could be high school GPA, or you know, incoming kind of background information for incoming freshmen. But then once the student starts to get academic experience with that college or university, then we leverage that information as well. Mm-hmm. So from a very first semester perspective, we go based on those college entrance exam scores to try and make some predicted recommendations of what would be a good fit. But after we get some academic history, then we can look at that, you know, how the students are performing at this institution, and make some recommendations based on that history.
Mm. It's a bit Orwellian, isn't it, all this? Sort of tracking what people have done, what they're doing at the moment, and think, okay, well, we can call you in and talk to you about that. Does it ever sit uncomfortably with people?
I wouldn't characterize it as Orwellian. I think it's actually really designed to be more helpful. You know, we're not regimenting anything. We're not dictating anything. We're really just trying to provide a tool to help people make the best choices. And we're not trying to replace, you know, advisors. We're not trying to eliminate any of that work. We're really trying to provide a very helpful and supplemental tool. In most cases, academic advisors have a very, very large student load, and, you know, it's very difficult to try and get to all the students that they have responsibility for. So we're trying to help provide a tool to make their jobs easier and to help make students a little bit more self-service, so that they can maybe not have as much of a dependence upon an advisor to make course choices all the time. Mm. So that way the advisor is freed up to spend one-on-one time with students that really do need to have that personalized time.
What sort of things are you sort of spotting that universities that don't, you know, get on top of their data analysis might miss and see students fall away?
This one specifically, I'm not sure that we've identified anything yet. As I mentioned, it's fairly new. We do have another predictive analytics application that works in conjunction with this, which is really geared more toward providing information to the instructors. And in that one, I think that might help instructors get a better grasp early on of things or consistent areas where students might be having problems or struggling more. Mm-hmm. That's really what it's more geared toward, is trying to identify students that are at risk and provide an early intervention opportunity for instructors to come alongside and say, you know, hey, I see that you're having a problem here. Can we, you know, maybe work through that and keep you, you know, kind of in the fold before you fall out and have to withdraw from the class?
Mm. But you've worked in a university yourself before. Mm-hmm. I mean, presumably a lot of institutions are just they're missing this. I mean, I'd like to think that a well-run university would have, you know, personal tutor systems in place, would have meetings, and would be able to pick up on those sort of problems more generally. But it sounds like there must be a lot of institutions out there that simply aren't doing that.
Well, I think when you get into large universities where you have very large lecture classes, you know, if you have 300 or 400 or 500 students in a lecture hall, it's very difficult for the instructor to have personalized learning time with each of those students. Mm. So one of the values of this product is it really helps to provide a more personalized learning experience for those students, and then help the instructor identify so that they can maximize their time, so they can focus in on those half a dozen students that really are struggling and really do need some personalized attention.
Sure. And what about looking either way? Obviously, this is looking at data of students that are perhaps already enrolled in the university in question. Mm-hmm. These days, increasingly, universities are active on the internet. I mean, there's been online learning for a long, long time. Last couple of years, MOOCs have become more and more prevalent. There's a lot of data there, isn't there? I mean, this is one of the things that people always say about running a MOOC. Yes, it'll cost you money. Where's the income going to come from? Why would you give your stuff away for free? It's data. It's information about students that have shown an interest in your campus. It's data about how people learned while they were doing the online course, and there's a lot of analytics in there. What's your take on this sort of the increasing amount of data that universities are gathering from their online activities?
There certainly is a lot of data. There has been a lot of data for a long time. With a lot of the newer technologies, we're at the point where we can really leverage the intelligence we can gain from that data, right? So we can make some smarter choices. But the data is the key to being able to make some of those foundational choices. We really want to make decisions that are based on analytical data and not gut hunches all the time, right? So that we have some data to back up choices and, mm-hmm. and to back up those decisions. In terms of the data, you know, we're really primarily focused on putting the data back into the hands of the people that need it so that they can make course corrections, they can make informed decisions about what's going on in their class while they can still impact the learners that are in the class, right? If you have to wait until the end of the semester to make a course correction, it's too late. Those students are already done. You know, they've completed your class, whether positively or negatively, they've completed your class and they've moved on. So we really want to put this data back into the hands of the instructor, kind of at the time that the learning is happening, so that they can make informed course choices right then. And if they see students that need remedial opportunities, they can provide that. If they maybe see students that need accelerated opportunities, they can provide that as well. But it all comes from the data. It's about the data of the learning behavior for those students. So that's really where we're focused right now, is learning analytics and in kind of the big picture for a course, and making that data available to the instructors so that they can act on it.
Mm-hmm. And do you think universities are set up to make sure that data passes freely between the people who collect it and those who could actually use it, like the instructors? I mean, quite often you'll find, you know, the IT department will you know, be the custodians, as it were, of these big data sets, and perhaps there aren't the data scientists in institutions to really dig down into that data and be given the time to look at how that could affect and, you know, and impact pedagogy in a positive way. Is that something you've come across, a sort of breakdown between the university sitting on a big pile of data that that just isn't getting back to the teachers?
It's true sometimes, and it really is a institutional choice, right? It's totally up to the college or university as to how they want to manage their own data, because it's their data.
Sure. And do you think students expect this more now that they're paying more money? They expect to have their courses a little bit more. In the UK, obviously, they're paying a lot more as of the last couple of years. In the US, obviously,
yeah,
fees are, you know, quite high in a lot of colleges. Is this the kind of thing that universities have to be offering now to maybe a more consumerist student who's coming through the doors expecting, you know, a high quality of education?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a trend. I think that as students become more informed, I think they are becoming more informed consumers, and they have a higher level of expectation. I think that that's true across the board regarding technology. I think in the current, students that are coming to the age of coming into college and university have had a much more technology-enriched education up to that point in their lives, and they come to college and university expecting that to continue and increase. So I think there is a large expectation placed on colleges and universities for that level of technology, and as well as that level of kind of educational experience and informed experience as well. So, yeah, I do. I think that we'll continue to see that increase as the technology increases and as students come to college with higher expectations.
Mm, very interesting stuff. Michael Moore, a Senior Advisory Consultant on Data Analytics at software developer Desire to Learn, thanks very much for joining me.
Great, thank you for the opportunity. I enjoyed our conversation.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.